So while people are still walking in this room, welcome to this VDI SmackDown session. It's an honor to be here at TechEd, an honor to present, and it's a privilege to share knowledge with you around VDI. My name is Ruben. I'm the CTO for a company called PQR. PQR is based in the Netherlands. We are a solutions provider, a system integrator. I'm an MVP from Microsoft, a Citrix CTP, and a VMware V expert. I've been in the application and desktop delivery space for quite a while. Do projects, write stuff, do R&D, educate on various events, local and international events. Well, I'm from Holland. I'm proud to be Dutch. In Holland, we eat these stroopwafels, they call it in English. We have some bicycles as well, even more bicycles than citizens in the Netherlands, by the way. When we play some soccer, especially against Germany, we dress like this. And when I have some spare time with my family, I do some cycling through the countryside of the Netherlands and see nice tulip fields. But the objective for this session is not to talk about how great the Netherlands are, but is to give some insights about the points, the 10 points to implement VDI correctly. Talk about storage design and the impact of storage in VDI. Spend a couple of minutes around developments, more random thoughts in application and desktop delivery, and then spend around 30 to 40 minutes of Citrix, Microsoft, and VMware VDI solutions, and compare these solutions with each other. So these are the session objectives for this VDI SmackDown session. But first of all, I see quite some challenges in our industry right now. When you look at, from a business perspective to IT, for instance, business people think, well, I want to have anywhere access, so any, to my applications and my data. I don't want to have products, I want to have solutions. It's tough to work with us, the IT guys. Our second name is the Dr. No department, something like that. It's tough to cooperate with these guys. And there's also some legacy as well. So we spend quite some time and resources in legacy systems and get these systems up and running. These are challenges today. And mobile is everywhere. So mobile first, and not mobile as my ultrabook, but mobile as Windows or non-Windows devices, mobile devices, is top priority in all customers. When you look at the more technology side, there's a lot of choices. Well, I love these type of choices. That's my job. But when you look at choices in our industry, it's about server-hosted desktops, running desktops in a data center, with session virtualization, with VDI, running desktops on the client itself. Enterprise mobility with mobile device management and mobile application management. Online and offline application virtualization with FV and ThinApp. Remoting display protocols as RemoteFX, HDX, and PCIe over IP. So there's a lot of choices in this industry, and it's not so easy to make these choices. And the most toughest one, they are the end users, they have certain demand. And I found an interesting video which illustrate this demand pretty simple. Let's see if that will work. So that's a simple illustration of my typical end users of my clients. And this is my famous rock band when I was, some years ago, like Bon Jovi and Queen and these guys. So nice challenges, nice start of this VDI SmackDown, but how can we solve these challenges? That's the main question. It's not that easy, but it starts easy because solving these challenges start with focus. And focus on me. And me is not Ruben, living in Veendal, having three kids. But me is the business consumer, the end user. And this end user is behaving as a consumer more and more in our daily work. And this business consumer is not talking about Apple versus Google or Google versus Microsoft or devices or apps, but it starts, okay, how can I do my job the best way around? So what's the best way to do my job? That's the starting point of me and not devices or services or whatever kind of thing. So what is the strategy to solve this kind of things? And the strategy is focusing on application and desktop delivery. So application and desktop delivery as a whole is how do I deliver applications, Windows, web, mobile, or optimized applications for mobile devices to my end users, and where is my data? These are the main topics of application and desktop delivery. For this session, we will focus on VDI, virtual desktop infrastructure, and specifically VDI where desktops are running in a data center, and so executed in a data center and presented locally. But keep in mind, this is all application and desktop delivery strategy is always hybrid. So it's not about I can solve with VDI 100% of my use cases. You won't. There are always use cases which won't be solved with VDI. So it's a hybrid approach, which means VDI, rich clients, installed application, virtualized applications, managed, non-managed, all these kind of things together, and that's what I mean with hybrid. So what are the 10 points to implement VDI correctly? First five are these five. So what do you want to achieve? What's the point in the horizon, VDY, and especially when you're focusing on VDI? Why are you using VDI? What do you want to solve with that? Is that cost reduction is a part of the game? When cost reduction is the killer thing in VDI, I should double check the math if VDI is the solution to have the most affordable desktop solution in your organization. Could be, but most of the cases VDI is not the cheapest solution compared to other solutions. So what is the vision of the vendors and what does these vendors offer from a solution perspective? Understand what these vendors are offering. Understand that it's any device, any OS, any browser, online, offline, managed, not managed. So understand this complete industry of how hybrid. And understand that application and desktop delivery is not VDI. VDI is just a portion of the complete stack of application and desktop delivery. Understand the other solutions as well in the application and desktop delivery space. Then who is the owner of the VDI strategy and what is his or her reason for this ownership? What does she or he wants to achieve with this VDI project? Who is in the VDI team? Is it just the desktop guys, the traditional desktop guys? Or is storage involved? Is networking involved? Is virtualization involved? Are end users involved in this team as well? VDI is not about desktops, only desktops. It's teamwork, networking, storage, compute, applications, end users, networking, security. It's teamwork. Understand the storage impact. I will talk 10 minutes around storage and VDI, but really, really understand storage and VDI. When storage is not your space, find a peer in the organization where you can discuss the VDI and storage portion. I think the most important one is user experience and perception of the end user, the business consumer. So what is his perception of this new future workspace called VDI? Yes, I can do everything you can do locally, and then with anywhere access. Well, that's a nice statement, but is that really possible to achieve that statement? So perception management is key in every desktop project and is key, very important in server-hosted desktop projects. POC, proof of concept, pilot, and acceptation criteria are the obvious ones, but even POC could be challenging. Yeah, we do a POC for a couple of days and then it should work. Well, that's a very dangerous statement. What is should work? From which perspective should it work? So writing down acceptation criteria for your POC, is the POC focused on end users or is the POC focused on the technology side, is important. So how can you be successful in a VDI project, or actually every project, are three main topics. Find the vision or your vision for application and desktop delivery or for VDI. Make sure you're executing it right, so following these 10 steps, for instance. And make sure that the adoption is there, so users are actually using the solution. Otherwise, it won't be a success. So vision, execution, and adoption are the three topics for being successful with VDI. And it sounds pretty simple, and especially the adoption part could be challenging. So focusing on adoption and getting closer and closer to the business consumer, to the end user in your VDI project. So I started with a little bit drama, played some video with Queen, used 10 points in illustrating and defining the strategy to implement VDI correctly. Now we'll move forward to the good, bad, and ugly. And the good, bad, and ugly is focusing on VDI, so not other topics, obviously. So for me, this is a nice picture of good. We saw this video this morning in the keynote. Pretty nice to have this kind of driver experience. So I try to find an interesting picture which illustrates bad and ugly. And this is what I educate my three kids when I see bad and ugly. So when I drive around in the Netherlands, and I don't want to be harsh, so when you're driving this vehicle or sort of vehicle, that's okay. So this is my personal opinion. It's not a Microsoft statement at all. I don't work for Microsoft, by the way, as I mentioned in the beginning. So for me, this is bad and ugly, or a synonym for bad and ugly. In this section of this presentation, I won't talk about the good portion of VDI. I will talk about the bad and ugly portion. Not that VDI is not brilliant and great, because yes, it is. And I have a lot of customers using VDI on a daily basis, and they are happy with that. But I want to emphasize the bad and ugly or attention of VDI. So don't write down any evaluation. I have no clue why anyone is using VDI in production, because I only received the information of Ruben about the bad and ugly. I said it up front. I won't talk about the good. I will talk about the bad and ugly just to make sure you have that kind of information as well. Because normally you will receive the good portion of VDI. So what is bad and ugly? And bad and ugly sounds dramatic, but bad and ugly is attention. Attention with user experience. Voice, webcam, voice over IP solutions, as Skype, for instance, conferencing solutions as WebEx or GoToMeeting, could be challenging depending on the context. Context could be network, latency, endpoint, type of functionality of the solution. So yes, Link 2013 can run flawless in VDI with Microsoft Citrix and VMware. But running, for instance, Link 2013 with Microsoft solution on a MacBook could be quite challenging on various sites. So that's a simple example of challenging with voice, video, webcam. Understand that networking, latency, bandwidth, and quality of service is key for a good user experience in a server-hosted desktop. So when you're running your desktops in Madrid and your end users are in Japan, you have some challenges which call the speed of light. And above 150 milliseconds, people can complain about the user experience. So it's about perception as well. And I cannot make speed of light faster. In Switzerland, they try to do that, but that doesn't work today. So you have to handle speed of light, and you're stuck with that. So networking, latency, jitter are critical components in the server-hosted desktop space. Running 2D and 3D applications inside of VDI is possible. There are a lot of solutions today, but it's challenging as well. So yes, it is possible, but the downside is, for instance, from a financial perspective, much more expensive compared to, normal VDI. And mobile, touch, and tablet-oriented devices in combination with VDI, my statement is the following. VDI with, for instance, my iPad is the best second choice. Not because of the iPad or another device, but I want to run native applications on my tablets as first citizens. And when that doesn't work, because I'm not in control of developing applications, for instance, I have VDI as a solution in my toolbox to deliver these type of applications to my tablets. But my first approach is bring these applications, native applications, to these tablets, and not via VDI or other desktop virtualization solution. Bad and ugly is cost reduction of the complete technology stack. I mentioned before, I don't see VDI as the most cost-effective desktop delivery solution from pure COPEX or APEX perspective. But it delivers a lot of other benefits as well, as I mentioned in the business challenges. Anywhere access, for instance, is a very nice benefit for a lot of customers using VDI. Licensing can be very challenging as well. OS licensing, licensing is not a sexy topic, but licensing should be part of the conversation as a team. So licensing from an OS perspective, with software assurance, with virtual desktop access, with companion device licensing, with Intune, service provider license agreement, there is no SPLA today for VDI, so remote desktop virtualization host. So there is no SPLA for service providers to deliver the desktops as a service. There is an SPLA for remote desktop session host, terminal services, session virtualization. Could be challenging when you're a hoster. And Microsoft Office, for instance, as an application running in VDI, can be challenging from a licensing perspective, and especially when the devices are not connected to your own business users, for instance. So to explain licensing, pretty simple, I made a simple diagram to explain licensing, and I hope it's helpful for you to have that diagram. So this is the diagram of licensing and Microsoft. It took me a while to create this diagram. Some other people in marketing, they created as well, and they created this nice flowchart. So actually, this flowchart is helpful in determining, okay, what kind of licensing from an OS perspective is needed for VDI. This deck is downloadable from the Channel 9 website, so you can see both diagrams. So when you're more a geek, you want to follow this diagram, or more a sales marketing guy or technology guy, make life easier, you can use this diagram. And it's on the deck, in the deck. So bad and ugly in VDI, or challenging in VDI, is using HTML5, so within your browser, to access VDI. There are solutions today. Aerocom has a solution. VMware with their Blast protocol has a solution. Citrix with a solution, which means I can use my browser and use HTML5 to access remote applications or remote desktops. And for me, and for most of my customers, this is the nice, backup plan when the other backup plan doesn't work, something like that. So yes, brilliant for just plain display of my desktop or application, but not so great for any other fancy stuff as USB remoting, printing, flash redirection, all that kind of stuff. So today, HTML5 for remote access in general is brilliant as a backup plan, something like that. Bad and ugly for VDI is all about mindset in your organization as an IT department. Running 100,000, 10,000, or 50,000 virtual desktops in the data center has a different approach from a manageability perspective. Just deploying a few patches could have substantial impact on storage, and storage will have substantial impact in VDI. So the mindset, okay, this is just a desktop, this is just running Windows 8 or Windows 8, well, that's the wrong mindset. Yes, you're running Windows clients in a data center, but changing, for instance, images or applications that easy is very dangerous. It's dangerous on the rich client side, but very dangerous on the VDI side. So the mindset of people working on the IT department and managing, maintaining VDI should be aware of, okay, it's the, call it Uber server with hundreds of desktops or multiple desktops on that server. Some people think that, endpoints are not exciting in the VDI context. Well, endpoints are exciting, and that's not about this Windows RT device, but endpoints are exciting in VDI. And with that, I mean, suppose you designed your complete VDI infrastructure, and you followed all the rules. You have more than enough resources. You have more than enough resources on the network side. still this endpoint from a user perspective will have impact on the user performance or perceived performance. So running, for instance, Microsoft VDI on my Apple MacBook will have a different user experience compared to running the same desktop on my Windows 8 tablet. Because, for instance, the RDP client on my Apple has different behavior and different capabilities. And that's the case with a lot of vendors, with Microsoft and Citrix and VMware. So keep in mind that the endpoint is exciting. Just a simple other example, look at thin clients. So you have zero clients, almost rich clients running Windows embedded, and between sort of Linux thin clients. There is a reason why this cheap zero client is that cheap, and why this rich client, almost rich client, as used as a thin client, is much more expensive. It has to do with performance, has to do with flexibility. So keep in mind that the endpoint as a whole has impact in the user experience. That's what I want to emphasize. So the last section about good, bad, and ugly is actually the storage section. So the storage section is not theory. It's real practical information. And this information is what we found, I think, 4, maybe 5 years ago, running in a big VDI implementation. Not like 5 years ago and this information is old school stuff. Even today, we found stuff which is useful to share, and that's why I created this VDI and storage's deep impact section in this presentation. So this section is about good, bad, and ugly, and is specifically focused on the storage side. So VDI and storage has substantial impact. When you understand it and design it well, it has a very positive impact in the user experience. When you use your current storage solution, your current storage design, as you do for other workloads, other server backend workloads, you will get burned while ramping up with VDI in your environment. Maybe not when you're running VDI for 5, 10, maybe 50, maybe 100 users. When you ramp up the amount of users and use the same philosophy as your current storage design, you will probably get in trouble with it. And I want to share my thoughts on that. So in the early days, there were some bad lab tests, or there was not so much real knowledge in this space. And this means that people thought, well, from an I/O perspective, 90% of my I/Os are read I/Os, and 10% of my I/Os are write I/Os. Well, in real-world scenarios, that is not the case at all. In real-world scenarios for VDI, it's about 80%, 85% of my I/Os are write I/Os, and 15 to 20% of my I/Os are read I/Os. That's lesson one. Then, this has nothing to do with VDI or storage, but this is more like a generic storage thing. What is the write penalty of using RAID 1 or RAID 10 or RAID 5, for instance? So within RAID 5, running local storage or central storage, I have overhead. So writing one I/O to storage means 4 I/Os to my disk subsystem. This is a write penalty, not specific for VDI, but in general for every storage solution. Also, the choice you make for the sort of storage solution, like HCA drives or SAS or SCSI drives, has big impact. Normally, in VDI, you will have, running Windows 7, you'll have 4K blocks as I/O. So the majority of the I/Os are 4K blocks. As you can see, when you change the different disk types, the impact on throughput and I/Os will vary, obviously. Don't just read the, well, technical details of the storage vendor and say, and these details say, okay, I can handle 400 I/Os for this device. It's about, okay, 400 I/Os with which block size is the first question you will have. What is the latency in this, well, benchmark is the second question you will have. So latency has everything to do with perceived performance as well. Running SSD on my machine or running a Fusion IO interface inside my servers will have a lower latency compared to spinning disks, which have a substantial benefit for the end user experience. 20 milliseconds latency is above 20 milliseconds latency, people will complain that the system is slower. You'll see that with SATA or 10K or 15K SAS drives, latency, for instance, with the 10K drive, you will have around 120 IOs when you hit the 20 milliseconds latency with a 10K drive. When you're using ATA drive, you will have like 40, 45 IOs. So obviously, from my perspective, is that yes, the type of drive has impact on IOs, but I still see other competitors in this space using, well, traditional ATA drives and using the same numbers as with SATA or SCSI drives, which will fail in production, obviously. So we created a small table to get better understanding, okay, what is the write penalty or rate penalty impact? What does it mean for SAS or SCSI drives, 15K or 10K drives? And I created an calculation to emphasize the impact of storage and VDI. So in this calculation, I have 1,000 concurrent users. And these 1,000 concurrent users are consuming like 12 IOs. 30% of these IOs are read IOs, and 70% of these IOs are write IOs. And 12 is a medium number. So a medium user, medium to higher using, is consuming 12 IOs. I see customers in production, a governmental organization with around 1,500 CCUs in production during business hours, and they are consuming like 3 to 5 IOs. I'm not sure if that's due to government or something like that, but could be. But I see that in production as well. And in healthcare, I see just one application consuming 50 IOs. So 50 IOs, one application, one user. So what is the best number for IOs? That's the silly consulting answer. It depends. It depends on the application. So this healthcare application, just this one application, is generating 5 IOs. And other customers in production are overall consuming 3 to 4 IOs. So in this example, it's 12 IOs. With RAID 1, and I do my calculation, I need 120 disks/spindles to get this up and running. With RAID 5, I need 210 spindles. When I don't have this number in a central storage, or have this number cut down on a local storage, people will complain, or the solution will fail. That's what we've seen in production. Complaining. And after a while, it will fail. The whole system will fail, especially with shared storage. This will happen as well when the shared storage is being used by Exchange or SQL or other stuff as well. I see quite some customers using the same, for instance, NetApp for VDI and Exchange and SQL and AD and the whole thing. And there's nothing wrong with that per se. But when I ask what's the current capacity on the storage side, and the answer is, yeah, we have 3 LANs of 2 terabytes available. That doesn't mean anything for me, because I'm interested on the latency and I/O side, besides of capacity side. When I ask, okay, what is the capacity from an I/O perspective, and I have no clue, or when you don't have any clue, or your colleagues, then it's time to see, okay, what's the bandwidth available on my storage side for this I/O perspective. When you don't have any idea, just first find out what the bandwidth is, what the available space is from a performance perspective as well, before you ramp up your VDI project. So during the day, something strange or interesting is happening. First, when the VMs are started, as you've seen this morning in the keynote, or people are logging in, these are normally read IOs. Read IOs can be easily cached. Write IOs is tough to cache. It is possible to cache write IOs until the cache is full, and then it gets flushed to my storage array. So yes, read IOs are easy to cache. So in the beginning of my normal day, it's read IOs. When I start applications, it's read IOs. And when I really use my applications, it's mostly write IOs. And again, write IOs are the most expensive IOs and are tough to cache. So when you think, well, I'm done with this whole VDI and storage thing, that could be. Well, VDI and storage is, I'm not done yet with VDI and storage, because we thought and think, well, we understand VDI and storage. We learn the hard way, we educate the community, and then I think 7-8 months ago, we hit something else at a customer site, and that's what this information is all about. So there's even more about VDI and storage. So typical, as I mentioned, typical Office Server backend workload is different read-write ratio. VDI profile is mostly writes, and 4K blocks is the majority. I have boot storms, I have logon storms, I have steady state. There's something else as well. I call it a lunch storm. And what happened at a couple of customers is during lunch, this whole storage system collapsed. And not because they actually just worked during lunch and watching videos or watching Facebook, but during lunch, people were started using YouTube. And there's nothing wrong with using YouTube. That's not my statement, during lunch or during business hours. I don't care. But YouTube as an application has a different impact from an IO perspective, because normally it's like 4K blocks. But with YouTube or other applications, this 4K block can be 400K block, so one IO of 400K. And that needs to land on my storage side. When my storage system wants to receive 4K blocks, this controller will be hammered, like, okay, let's chop this 400K block in 100 4K blocks. So the CPU of this controller will be overwhelmed. And at the end of this day, this 400K block will be 400 IOs on my storage side. And that's not what I designed from day one. So that's what I called LunchStorm. Has everything to do with YouTube, but also other, well, transferring applications. Something else. A lot of people think, well, just solve this whole storage and VDI stuff by entering the SSD space. Just enable SSD, use Fusion IO or other devices in my storage system, and then we're all done. Well, then you're done with IOs, for sure. But the other topic will arise, and it has everything to do with capacity. So I'll solve capacity from an IO perspective, but I will introduce a different conversation. Okay, how many SSDs do I need? Or how big does my Fusion IO interface need to be to handle this type or this amount of users? In the VDI space, you have stateless and stateful. Local storage and stateless is pretty simple. Local storage and VDI, local storage and stateful is tougher. So local storage and stateless is easier, and local storage and stateful is tougher. That's one thing to remember. How much storage capacity I need for each VM is not that easy to calculate. It's how do you set up my image? Do I use application virtualization? What's the printing behavior? Do I reboot my machines? Where is my write cache stored? Do I need, for instance, with vSphere, memory swapping, for instance, that has impact on storage capacity? So all these topics are part of the storage discussion. Nothing to do with IOs, but more from a capacity perspective. This is what I explained in the lunch storm discussion. So how can I solve storage and VDI? Well, I could say, give me 45 to more than 45 minutes to explain this whole storage industry, but I wrote down some storage directions to solve VDI and storage. And these storage directions is simple, just buy more spindles or disks, or start with minimizing the impact of IOs, using Project VRC and Login VSI as benchmarking methodology, and to see, okay, well, how can I minimize my IOs? Use caching technology, especially caching technology, to reduce the read impact. I can easily cache my read IOs. Use solid-state drives. Understand what the impact of solid-state drive is. You have today two types of SSDs, enterprise SSD and consumer SSDs. Understand what the impact of SSD in the enterprise is while using consumer SSDs, for instance. Consolidate I/O and deduplication. Have you seen this morning in the keynote? Microsoft is working on deduplication on the storage side. Find solutions which make random I/O sequential I/O. For instance, NetApp is doing that with their Waffle, their file system. So random I/O means, okay, my spindle can handle, for instance, 150 I/Os, random I/Os. When I sequential write my I/Os to disk, it can handle 350 I/Os. So understand there are solutions in this space who are changing random I/O to sequential I/O. So these are just simple food for thought around solving storage and VDI. We have written a couple of blogs and white papers around storage and VDI. And at the end of this presentation, you will get easy access to this information. So that was an overload of information so far, I think or I assume. So I started with drama. I spoke about, the good, bad, and ugly. I spoke about its strategy around VDI. I spoke about storage in VDI as part of the good, bad, and ugly. Let's move forward and see what kind of developments are in this space, and then focus on the solutions in this space. So focusing on developments is quite challenging because I have around 40 minutes left, and I can talk for 3 hours about developments. But I just wrote down some random thoughts about developments I see. I want to share these thoughts just with you. So developments in the application and desktop delivery, and especially the VDI space, are the following. I see from a converged infrastructure, such as, for instance, Cisco is building, so combining networking, storage, compute with cloud management or management layer, I see a different approach with Nutanix, for instance, or other solutions in that space where this whole compute is getting back to local and is, with a different file system, is replicated through local machines. Nutanix in the VDI space is ramping up really, really fast. I see conversion of hype from central to local again with this solution called hyperconverged infrastructure. There's a lot of movement in the storage space. I spent quite some time with storage, as you mentioned, as you noticed. I don't know what the vendors today or this week are on the booth, but I assume there will be 5, 10, 15 vendors in the storage appliance or the storage space which can be helpful in solving VDI. And there's a lot of movement in the space. Besides of these 10 or 15 I mentioned, I think there are 30 or 35 vendors in the storage space. Developments on caching, IntelliCache with Zen Server, Citrix Zen Server. View Storage Accelerator or content-based read cache as part of the VMware vSphere solution and View. HyperCache or clustered shared volumes are all solutions or all developments to solve or try to solve storage and VDI, and especially the read cache. GPU, graphical processor unit, sharing, virtualization, and pass-through, which all make sense when your applications are graphical intensive or more intensive applications. On my roadmap, on my personal and PKR roadmap, I have some plans to write down a smackdown about this whole 2D, 3D world in VDI. It seems pretty simple, but there's a lot of stuff going on in this space with Citrix, with Microsoft, with VMware, with NVIDIA, with pass-through, with CPU sharing. So there's a lot of movement in this space. Unified communications and VDI. A lot of customers are asking for VDI, for unified communication VDI. I see some customers moving to unified communication, using unified communication VDI, but not that much, to be honest. But unified communication VDI is possible. Keep in mind the bad and ugly portion, as I mentioned before. And especially with Link 2013, Microsoft makes some brilliant steps and good steps to get unified communication in VDI up and running. HTML5, already covered that. Reverse seamless is, for me, not a new development. Reverse seamless means I can present my local applications in my central desktop. So suppose locally, I've installed some weirdo application which cannot run in my server hosted, my VDI instance. I can present seamlessly this local application in my central interface, central desktop. That's what's called reverse seamless. There are solutions in this space, two solutions today, from REST Software and from Citrix, who are able to deliver or to present these local applications in a central, central desktop. Overall, VDI is getting more and more mature. Hopefully, the good, bad, and ugly, hopefully the various white papers will be helpful in getting the adoption of VDI in the right way at customer sites. And talking about VDI developments in the VDI space, I can talk for a couple of hours what's going on in this industry, but just want to give you a glimpse of what's going on. Why? Because there's a lot of things are going on in the VDI space. Some people think, well, VDI is done, we go to mobile, but a lot of customers today are still struggling with their current desktop strategy, and VDI is a nice and brilliant solution to or to solve or to help in the desktop strategy. And mobility is part of the strategy as well, but that's a different subject to talk about. So let's ramp up speed. I have 32 minutes, and I will cover the solutions overview of VDI. Solution overview is everything to do with the landscape of VDI. And the landscape of VDI today looks like this. This picture has nothing to do with a magic quadrant kind of style that Oracle and Citrix are the best solutions because they are in that top position. This is just my graphical imagination of placing logos on the slide. So don't think that this has everything to do with priority. What I see, by the way, in my industry, within PQR or with my peers in the community, is there are two big vendors in this space, Citrix and VMware. Then it is quiet, there's a pause, and then Microsoft is ramping up really fast in the VDI space. Then Quest with vWorkspace. And then it's quiet for a while, and then the others are in this space. That's what I see talking with colleagues, talking with community peers, and that's what I see when I look at the survey we did within Project VRC. So we had a lot of feedback from around 660 people about adoption of VDI, and that's backing up this information as well. That has nothing to do with, for instance, Ericom has a bad solution. They have a good solution, but company is smaller or different focus or different marketing or different sales or whatever kind of reason, they're not that visible in this space. So majority is Citrix and VMware, and Microsoft is ramping up really fast. I see quite some demand from my PQR customers. We have Citrix, should we just move to Microsoft only? Which is a common question for a lot of customers. So which solution is the best solution is the question I received very often. I wrote quite some, a lot of white papers, and one of the white papers called VDI Smackdown, obviously. So people think, well, we just hire Ruben, which is possible. We just let him talk, and then after a certain amount of time, we know what is the best solution for us. And that happened quite some times in the past month and year. So my best approach in determining the best solution is very simple, and everyone can determine the best solution. Because just flipping the coin is the best, is the fairest approach to determine what's the best solution when you don't have any requirements written down or you have no clue about requirements. And that did happen a couple of times at my customers. So my customers, they hired PQR, I filled it in. They had no clue about requirements. They asked me, okay, what is the best solution? Up front, I managed their expectations. Still, they had a philosophy. So I picked my wallet, flipped the coin, and said, well, I think it will be Citrix today. And they said, well, this guy, I'm not sure if this is the right approach. And then I explained that this is the best and fairest approach when you don't have any requirements written down. So they had some homework to do. So in the VDI Smackdown section, I will talk about Citrix, Microsoft, and VMware. And after these three vendors, I will talk about how to be successful as well. So we'll start with Citrix. And as I mentioned before, I don't work for Citrix or Microsoft or VMware. So I can talk about the good of Citrix or Microsoft, and I can talk about the, call it bad and ugly, or attention points, or room for improvement. That's the polite way of get your work done. So first, Citrix. Focusing on the current product, and current product today is still Zen Desktop 5.6 Feature Pack 1. So from my perspective, Citrix has a solid, profound vision, and when you look at the acquisitions they made, it makes sense when you look at the complete mobility space, so not only VDI space, but also enterprise mobility, mobile device management, networking, and secure access. Citrix is all about choice as well. So Flexcast, and their new infrastructure is called Flexcast Management Architecture instead of IMA. Choice around image management. How do I manage my images from a VDI perspective? Do I use provisioning services? Do I use machine creation services? There are pros and cons on both sides. There's a, well, you can talk for one session about PVS versus MCS, but they're both pros and cons. And choice is overall a benefit. Not bound to Citrix as a virtualization infrastructure platform, so using Microsoft or VMware or Citrix as VI infrastructure and management platform. Using the remote desktop protocol, HCX, and HCX is able to handle server-hosted content, processing server-hosted content or client-side content, for instance, with Flash, for instance. So I can play a 1080p video flawless using client-side redirection. And my client, my Flash client, or my resource on my client are being used to display this this type of content. When I didn't meet the Flash requirements, I will go backwards to server-hosted rendering, which means, okay, the content playback is good, but different compared to client-side rendering. User experience in LAN and WAN scenarios is good. Maybe the best compared to the others, but the others are good as well. And especially in environments above 200 milliseconds, Citrix is doing an interesting job with, for instance, HDX 3D Pro. I've seen that in production as well. Using 2D, 3D applications, Autodesk Revit, running in the Netherlands and running these presenting these applications in the Ukraine, for instance, or in Brazil, for instance. Endpoint support is extensive. Integration with their security and networking solutions is good. Cloud Gateway, Gateway solutions. Assessment software, so assessing the application set and see what that means for sizing is part of the solution. Personal VDiscs. Personal VDiscs is using a Google image and creating their own personal layer on top of this golden image. So between stateless and stateful is personal VDisk approach. In Zen Desktop, not Zen App, in Zen Desktop today there is no GPU sharing yet. It is on the roadmap when you look at the combination Citrix and NVIDIA, but not today. Client-side rendering and server-hosted rendering can be challenging as well. So suppose I don't meet the Flash requirement, the fallback will be server-hosted rendering. And that has a different user experience. So be aware of that. Personal VDisk is nice, but there's no management in personal VDisk. So there's no management in the different layers which is being offered by personal VDisk. In this release, there are too much deployment solutions in the Citrix stack. And it's not integrated. So Zen Client, Zen Desktop, Zen App, PVS, MCS, PVD, Zen Client with their own image management. It can be very confusing. So it's time to consolidate that kind of stuff. Amount of consoles, there's always a complaint with Citrix. VDI and EdgeSight. EdgeSight is their end-to-end monitoring solution. That's a different topic. End-to-end monitoring is really hot. I see a lot of demand from my customers in end-to-end monitoring solutions. And EdgeSight should be the solution. But I see edge side more as edge side, and it's not a brilliant solution. And it's, from a storage perspective, a really huge impact adding edge side to Xen Desktop. Combining Citrix with Microsoft is very challenging. So Xen Desktop 5.6, Feature Pack 1, combine that with Hyper-V and System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012 SP1 is not supported and doesn't work flawless. So keep that in mind when you want to build this type of combination of solutions. And there's no Windows 8 support in this version of Xen Desktop. So what's coming in Xen Desktop 7, and coming is soon, is a complete new architecture called FMA, FlexCast Management Architecture. And this FlexCast Management Architecture means that Xen App and Xen Desktop are, well, called combined in the same management infrastructure. Two consoles. One is more IT support, and one is IT professional or IT admin. Windows 8 and Server 2012 support. And Edge Site is new, or complete new, but it is much, much better than the previous version of the older Edge Site in Xen Desktop 5.6. Siemens local applications are part of the Platinum release. Using VDI or Xen Desktop application mode or Xen App to deliver Windows application to mobile devices is part of the stack as well. And Citrix application streaming or Citrix application virtualization, but they call it officially application streaming, is not being developed anymore. So yes, it's running on Windows 7 or 2008 R2, for instance, but running Citrix application streaming on Windows 8 or Server 2012 is not supported, doesn't work, and it won't work in the future because they stopped that development and they say, okay, move to FV to get that up and running. So when you're today using Citrix application streaming, keep that in mind that there's no further development on Citrix application streaming. So let's move to Microsoft and see how their VDI solution is doing in the SmackDown section. So I see as a benefit, a lot of customers say, well, it is Microsoft. We have a Microsoft unless policy. So just we start with Microsoft VDI solution. The solution is good enough, or the perception is good enough, or the reality is good enough, so why pay more? Well, I'm from Holland. I'm a Dutch guy. This could be a typical sentence in the Netherlands, so why pay more? When you look at the deployment through Server Manager, it's easy to deploy various roles. The RDS roles, remote desktop services roles, but also the other roles. So deployment is easy. No SCVMM required to get a VDI solution up and running. Connection broker through SQL Server can be active. Connection broker is an important portion in the VDI infrastructure. Image management is straightforward. Boot a VM, change your updates, save the VM, and make sure that this is replicated automatically to other VMs. I can use various storage scenarios. I can use local storage and shared storage combined, for instance. So storage and VDI in a Microsoft approach is choice as well, using local storage, using central storage, or a combination of these things. Remote FX, so RFX is remote FX. Remote FX is remote display protocol. It's the first GPU sharing solution. So I can add a GPU or multiple GPUs to my Hyper-V server and use this GPU to encode my remote display protocol. When I don't have a GPU, the solution will use the CPU to encode it. So there's no need, it's not mandatory to have a GPU in your server. You can use a CPU as well, but the overhead or the additional overhead could be like 20 to 30% CPU overhead because the CPU is being used to encode the RDP protocol. Progressive display, media streaming, touch, modern UI are all things on remote FX side, which makes remote FX in LAN and WAN scenarios as it should be. It works. And in previous versions, it works in LAN environments, and it didn't work well in WAN or Wi-Fi scenarios. So in LAN and WAN scenarios, RemoteFX is doing a good job. Friends of, community friends of mine, Sean Bass and Bernard Trich, they spent a lot of time in investigating different remoting protocols. So when you have the chance to see one of their sessions during other events, I don't think they are at SACAD this year, but they have some videos recorded as well. So search for Sean Bass and Bernard Trich on remote and display protocols, and you will see the different flavors of RemoteFX, HDX, PCI over IP, and how that combines together. Attention from a Microsoft perspective. Now it gets interesting when you're on a Microsoft conference. And I presented this deck at Tech Ready as well. And Tech Ready is our own internal event. And I presented this deck to the product group as well. So I don't have a separate agenda about, okay, this is what I will talk or emphasize, and this is what I won't talk about. This is just my opinion about the Microsoft VDI solution. And my opinion is the question, is Microsoft as a company, so not the RDS group, but as a company, really interested in virtualization host? Interesting question. Let's see if I can find an answer on that. Where is service provider license agreement when I'm for VDI, for instance? It's not there. Where is my Microsoft RDP client for non-Microsoft devices? It's not there. There should be a brilliant reason for that. But from my perspective, there is, from a bigger picture, there are other, well, forces in a bigger organization. So that doesn't mean that VDI, it doesn't work. Yes, it works, but there are still caveats in that space. And that's what I mean with this first sentence. Enterprise management functionality. Microsoft VDI is great for smaller and medium organizations. Not for enterprises, especially from a management perspective. Versioning, multiple silos, multiple collections. How do I manage that? How do I manage that from a GUI perspective? There are limitations on that side. RemoteFX is Hyper-V only. Keep that in mind. So it's a connection through Hyper-V. Endpoint support, from my perspective, is limited. Every customer I face with have a mixture of endpoints, Windows and non-Windows endpoints. I mentioned before that I don't believe in delivering VDI or remote applications to, for instance, my Android tablet. But Android is ramping up in the non-tablet space as well. So having an Android client for RemoteFX or an Apple OS X client for RemoteFX makes sense for a lot of customers. Keep in mind that RemoteFX in this version is not focused on CAD and CAM application. So it's focused on line of business applications and not 3D and 2D applications. Adding a GPU to my server has impact in the price tag as well. So adding a GPU will have impact on my data center side, consuming power energy, and it's generating heat. Such a device can cost 1,000 up to 10,000 euros as well. So such a GPU is a price tag to my whole business case. There are a lot of benefits, but this is the attention slide. Shadowing in this version is not there, which is pity. And killing processes from a central console is not there yet. And these are two main topics which IT admins are doing on a daily basis. Shadowing a user, see what's going on, see that application is stuck, just kill that process, should be part of the console from my perspective. OpenGL is not, well, it is supported, that's the official answer, but there's no hardware support, and what is supported, software support, is really old. RDP properties, which can be created on listeners, for instance, are not saved in a database. It's not that common, but keep that in mind when you are used to that kind of functionality. Documentation, reference architectures, even PowerShell help files is lacking. And Microsoft should really ramp up that kind of information for us as IT professionals. Universal Access Gateway plus remote apps, remote app with session host, but also especially with virtualization host, is a no-go. So Universal Access Gateway, even the current latest version, plus remote app is no go. There's no support for that. There's a technical reason for that. I can explain that later when you have questions afterwards. So let's move to 2012 R2. So R2 is announced, it's not released. The bits are available, made available last night. So this information is what I gathered from talking to the RDS team and reviewing other slides. I just want to spend some time with R2 release of Microsoft. So shadowing is back. Shadowing can be done directly from the client. I don't need an RDP connection and then use shadowing. I can use shadowing directly from my endpoint. It's a one-to-one relation, so I can shadow Jurjen, for instance, in a one-to-one relation and not a multi-relation. So, for instance, in a glass room setup, for instance. That's not the case. Remote effects performance, they gained some performance increases as well. We'll see with a reality check, and especially with Sean and Benny, as I mentioned before, what the real numbers are, and especially what the context is of these numbers. Graphical experience, using thumbnail preview or arrow peak is not that brilliant in the current release. And these are minor things, but the combination of these minor things are still, from a user perspective, good to have some improvements on that. Reconnect, especially in WAN scenarios, is from tens of seconds to a couple of seconds. So reconnecting in my session in a 3G scenario could take up to 20 seconds. Using R2 can take up to 3 or 4 seconds. And the modern application for remote desktop application is changed as well. So when I'm moving, for instance, my touch device from landscape to portrait, the application understands better that kind of movement, for instance. This is more on the Hyper-V side. So generation 2 VMs, UEVI support. It should be faster as well. It's not a reality check. This is the information I received. So less overhead on a VM side, which is always beneficial when I size my infrastructure. Quality of service on the storage side. So restricting IOs per VM is a very interesting functionality in R2, which is beneficial for VDI. Storage spaces, seen and mentioned this morning. Tiering of storage, write cache is what Jeff Woolsey used in his demo. And deduplication is what he used as well. So tiering, write cache, and deduplication with storage spaces, part of the file services role, are very useful for VDI. When the solution is released, we will do a reality check on that and see what the context is of these claims and these statements. We'll see. Last section in the Microsoft portion of VDI SmackDown is, I mentioned before, a lot of customers have demand for, okay, we start with Microsoft-only VDI, and then the main question, okay, do we need Citrix? And I emphasize the benefits and the downsides of both Citrix and Microsoft. One of the topics in the Microsoft discussion, okay, what is the endpoint support for a Microsoft-only VDI solution? So together with a couple of colleagues, we spent a couple of days in investigating what the industry is offering for third-party RDP clients. Because Microsoft's answer is, okay, find an third-party RDP client which suits your demands. So that's what I try to find out, and I want to share these thoughts with you. So we investigated these clients, ITAP, Ericom, 2X, Dell, Lulana, ThinStuff, VMLite. And I won't talk about all the details because the details are already written down in the current white paper, up-to-date white paper. But overall, I want to share my overall thoughts. It's really tough to find details with these vendors. What RDP version is supported? Is Universal Access Gateway supported? Is RDP 8 supported or RDP 7 or an older version of RDP? Some have in-app payment. So I buy this application and then, okay, I want to use Universal Access Gateway. Ah, that's another $5 as well. from an end-user perspective, that is really, that's not what you want. Because this is end-user focused, this client. Some application costs around $30 or 30 euros per device. Yes, and when I buy 1,000 applications, the price will be lower, but still substantial. Maybe it's substantial, but when you compare it to Citrix or other solutions as a solution on top of Microsoft, it's still a smaller amount of money. So don't be confused with that amount of money. Overall, our findings, it's expensive or too expensive. It's lacking in functionality. And it's nice for IT professionals, not for my typical grandma end-user type of consumer. And they are not mature in documentation. It's tough to find details. I'm not impressed today with third-party clients, software clients. So there are third-party clients on the hardware side, running thin clients or zero clients. I'm talking about software clients today. So from my statement to Microsoft is spend time on the third-party client. Build a client for Apple OS X will solve a lot of discussion with my colleagues and with my customers. So all the details, around 4 or 5 pages of details, are part of the VDI Smackdown 2.1, which is released, I think, 4 or 5 weeks ago. So when you're in the Microsoft space investigating third-party clients, just look at the VDI Smackdown section covering these clients. When you have feedback, when you have a different client which we didn't investigate, and you're happy with a client or not happy with a client, that's fine as well. Let me know, and I'm happy to spend some time with my colleagues on that. Some side note: Dell is creating a monitor for RemoteFX, and this monitor gives you, as IT admin, an easy view of RemoteFX and networking. And yes, you can get that kind of information with performance counters, with performance monitor. But this is a handy tool to use in your environment. I'm not sure when this tool will be released. Michel Roth is the product manager of Quest or Dell V Workspace. And it shouldn't be that long before this type of solution is released. So follow Michel or follow me on Twitter to get some insights about the release of the RemoteFX monitor. And by the way, that's more a statement to Microsoft. Microsoft should build this type of monitoring solution and not Dell or V Workspace. But that's my simple statement. Last section is all about VMware. 6 minutes left, so talk about VMware and then to be successful. That should fit in this time. So VMware focus, what is good about VMware? VMware focus is, yes, finally their vision and clear communication is there. VMware is a very solid name in the virtualization space, and especially in the sub-virtualization space. That's their starting point. Application virtualization, ThinApp, is part of the stack. I have tens of customers using ThinApp, and they're very happy with ThinApp. The combination of ThinApp, so wrapping an application, storing this executable on a file share in combination with VDI is doing great. Easy to update my application, just update the executable. Downside of ThinApp is there is no management platform. That's part of the ThinApp discussion. Image management, linked clone technology, is very easy. Easy, from my perspective, the easiest solution compared to Citrix and Microsoft. 3D graphics, today through CPU, on the roadmap through other solutions, is there. So I can use some sort of 2D and 3D applications. I can offload PC over IP encoding, which is normally done by CPU, to my Teradici server offload card. But don't get confused. This server offload card today has no GPU. It's just offloading PC over IP. So adding this Teradici server offload card won't help in the whole GPU discussion. It's just offloading PC over IP. PC over IP in LAN and WAN is doing great. Some competitors will emphasize that PC over IP is LAN only. That's not true. LAN and WAN scenarios are doing great with PC over IP. User profile management is part of the solution. So profile management is an important topic in application and desktop delivery, or actually user environment management is an important topic of the bigger application and desktop delivery strategy. Profile management is part of the solution. Windows 8 support, only 32 bits is supported, inclusive multi-touch support. As I mentioned with RemoteFX, there is an impact using server-hosted remoting protocols. PC over IP is a server-hosted remoting protocol, so there is impact on the server side. Using PC over IP as within their security solution, so they have a security server, and I can tunnel PC over IP through SSL. I still need one port number with TCP and UDP on my firewall side to get this up and running. So my client needs to have access to these ports. When I'm in the hotel and I don't have access through my security service of these two ports, I won't have access through my desktop. PC over IP won't work, and there's no automatic fallback through RDP. So security, their security solution, be aware of this, or start the discussion, is this security the solution, the best solution as a whole, or is Juniper or Cisco or a different vendor the better approach for securing for accessing a secure desktop? Scalability and manageability needs attention in larger enterprises, so 10,000 CSUs and more. And in these scenarios, normally you create pods. And especially in an active data center scenario, there are some caveats, some design caveats. When you are interested in that kind of information more on detail side, let me know. I will follow up on that side. The view client for Windows RT is RDP only, so not PC over IP. So from a marketing perspective, yes, we have a view client for Windows RT, but in practice, people are focusing on PC over IP for VMware View and not RDP only. So what about the others? The others like Quest or Dell or Ericom or Red Hat or Oracle. So I didn't spend time on the others. I spent time on the others on the INI white paper, but the others are not in this presentation. Why? Because they are not that visible, or they are too small, or less focused, or they are brilliant, but from a time perspective, I didn't spend time on them. So there are reasons why these others are not part of this presentation. So I talked about drama, played a video of Queen, talked about 10 points to implement VDI correctly, talked about the good, bad, and ugly, talked about storage in VDI, talked a little bit briefly about developments in the application and desktop delivery space, gave an overview of the complete VDI space, and did a deeper dive, not a real deep dive, but a deeper dive on Citrix, Microsoft, and VMware with RDP clients, with future roadmap as Zen Desktop 7 or 2012 R2. Last minute, I want to emphasize some ingredients for success. Well, this is a nice ingredient for success. I like to barbecue, to be honest. In Holland, the weather is pretty bad, so the time to barbecue is it's not brilliant. So need to change that. You need to move to Madrid. Weather is brilliant. Always nice barbecue weather. But ingredients for success in VDI are these topics. So focusing on end user and their scenarios. Scenarios is context. Which user role, which applications, what type of devices, online, offline, what is the security boundary, are all bound together in what we call persona. What's your desktop strategy as a whole, not only the VDI strategy, and where does VDI fit in that complete strategy? What is my focus on the user experience in combination with secure access, in combination with unified communication, in combination with multimedia applications, for instance? What is the focus on these topics? Did I do a reality check, or did I just believe the vendor statement? Did I spend some time in proof of concepts? Did I read, for instance, the VDI Smackdown or other information in this industry? Do I really understand the VDI and storage is deep impact story? I try to spend some time on that and emphasize there is a serious story around that, especially in a larger VDI scenario. So when you just want to deliver for 5 users my desktops, VDI desktops, VDI and storage is not a big impact. When you're ramping up to 200, 300, 1,000, 10,000 or more, VDI should be on the agenda for sure. A lot of people think, well, we just download the VDI Smackdown, we scroll down, we see all the features, and we count the pluses and minuses, and then we know what solution is the best solution for me. That's a really bad approach for determining what kind of solution is the best solution. So don't focus while reading this VDI Smackdown or other documentation on features, because features is step 3 in the whole process. You don't start with a feature discussion. You start with a strategy. And then when you understand vision and execution, and then it's just do it, and adoption will be there. So the objectives were 10 points to implement VDI correctly, storage designing, developments in application and desktop delivery, and smack down the different VDI solutions. I really hope I met these objectives and your expectations especially. I mentioned it a couple of times in this presentation. There's a lot of information written down. Colleagues like Herco, like Sven, like Marcel, and myself have spent a lot of time in investigating and writing down information in white papers. It's easy to get all this information in just one email. Send me an email with subject Go VDI, and you will receive that email with around 20 links to white papers, community white papers, articles, some third-party colleagues, third-party vendors and colleagues who've written down this type of content. So when you're interested in VDI and want to have a fast start in this VDI space, this will save you a lot of time in searching. So send me an email, govdi to rsp@pqr.nl, and I will follow up within a couple of days in this email. With that, I really hope you like this presentation. I hope you like my unbiased approach in these vendors. Fill in the evaluation forms. That will be beneficial for me. And to make it better, when you have feedback, let me know. When you want to have my business card for email address, I have some business cards here. Otherwise, have a great event for the rest of the week. Enjoy your day, and thank you again.